Our Evan jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave Dobenmeyer.
One of the real pleasures of life is sleeping in your own bed after you've been gone a few days. Man, oh man, oh man, it's good to be home. We are back in the saddle again, as you can see here. And, oh my goodness, did I tell you guys this? I think I did, but I just got to tell you, Michelle and I, we stayed at the Low Quality Inn. I think I told you, it's good to be home last night. We stayed in the Low Quality Inn, and in the middle of the night, Michelle and I, when we went to bed on, what is today? Today's Friday. When Michelle and I went to bed on Wednesday, could be one of those nights, I said, honey, did you leave the water running? And she said, what? I said, listen, you leave the water running? And she jumped out of bed real quick and ran into the bathroom, and somebody was showering upstairs, and it was coming into our bathtub. Coming right through. I could have showered in my bathtub without having to turn the water on. It was coming. Oh my goodness, the things we do for love. So it was good to get home last night, where my own water fell on top of me out of my own pipes. That was a good thing to do. So a lot of good stuff to share with you today. I just folks, Jared, find Psalm 34 for me, would you please? Psalm 34. I'm invigorated. And I don't even know why. Yeah, I do. I know why. I'm invigorated because I know we can win. I know we can win. Let me stop here real quick before I forget. I got a thousand things going through my head here now that I'm back in the studio. You can always find us at CoachDaveLive.com. Folks, please share that with your friends. I get emails, can't find you this morning, Coach. Where are you on YouTube? I'm freaking banned. Coach, I'm not on Facebook today. Where are you? I can't find you. I'm freaking banned. Coach, you're not on Vimeo. Where? I'm banned, all right? I'm at CoachDaveLive.com. I'm always at CoachDaveLive.com. And give Jared a little bit of slack, because he does the show, does all the production, and if it's not up right at 8:15. Give him a break. He's doing the best I can, best he can. So we're always up there. Always CoachDaveLive.com. Okay, that's where we are. You can find the audio there. You can find the video there. You can find everything. CoachDaveLive.com. So I'm still going to say something, and it kind of got away. Oh yeah, I know what it is. I want to thank a lot of you. Made some donations to us. Yesterday, and I appreciate it. I'm not going to call out names, say who they are, but I noticed it. And I want to make an apology right now to those of you who've been helping us through Patreon. Can I explain something to you? I don't understand how this stuff. I don't. And we've had some shifting of responsibilities going on here at Coach Dave Live, and good people are coming in. We're trying to make things better. And I don't really understand how Patreon works. And I know this, when you're on Patreon, when you donate to Patreon, there's goodies that come along with it. I was supposed to be sending you stuff out, and I just don't get it, and I haven't kept up. So please stay with us on Patreon, and I'm going to get caught up and figure out how that whole thing works. And we're going to get you hats and shirts and all that stuff. Just bear with me, okay? We're growing pains, maybe. Is that what they call it? So I apologize. Thank you for your faithful support. Patreon, thank you, and we appreciate it. Keeps gas in the tank, as they say. You know, I saw a tragedy. Did you guys see this on Table Rock? I think is the name of the lake out at Branson, Missouri. Michelle and I took our kids there a number of times. They had those little duck boats. I don't even know what I mean. They were cars that can drive right in the water, and they get, you know, put all the kids on there, and they're playing music, and they're out on Table Rock and somehow they got out there on that thing, and a storm blew up, and they couldn't get off the lake in time. It's then capsized. And 7 people died as a result of that. Hey, good, listen, man. Tomorrow promised no man. You just don't know. Whoever thinks that you're going to go under and die on a storm on Table Rock, Lake Tabor, I think that's the name of it, just outside Branson, Missouri. Tomorrow's promised to no one. Had horrible tornadoes in Pella, Washington, or Pella, Iowa. I'd been to Pella, Iowa before. I spoke there years and years ago and saw my first ever bald eagle, yes, at Pella, Washington. Pella, Iowa, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. Saw one yesterday at home here out over Buckeye Lake. Saw a bald eagle. We started to see those more and more. So bear with me as I get my feet under. This is kind of a flea flicker Friday, but I got a lot of things I want to flick out there for you. First of all, hey, Jared, let's go to this real quick. Let's go. I think it says picks. I think it just says picks, Jared. See if you can pull that up. I know I got you then. I know I got you on Psalm 34. Well, I got something I want to show you guys. First one. Hey, Jared, just click right there on Big Jim. I talked about Big Jim yesterday, and I said, I know he's coming back today. I know he's going to come back. And lo and behold, what happened? Yep, Big Jim came rolling back in yesterday morning. Big smile on his face. Is it up there, Jared? Big smile on his face, and I handed him a bunch of more tracks, and he went back out. That's the guy, remember, told you that, well, you didn't see it. There he is, man. Big Jim with a hat that David Arthur gave him. Came back with some life in him yesterday. Some life in him. So I just wanted to, I kind of left the show yesterday. I said, I wonder if Big Jim's going to show up. Well, he did. There he is. So
you know, Coach.
Yeah, Dave.
You notice how his whole demeanor was different, how he was, he looked better. He smelled better. He was cleaner. He had a nice crisp shirt on. He was ready to come out and do some ministry. It was amazing.
Yeah. It's really good. Folks, let me show another picture, Jared. I'll put the pressure on here real quick. I'm sorry, man. I just sent you one. Frank and says Ray and Frank witnessing. Ray LeBlanc. I think Ray's probably in here with us. God bless Ray LeBlanc. Ray, those of you who don't know, Ray's going to go up and help Rob Pugh run his Salt and Light Brigade up in Wisconsin. Ray is moving. When he leaves Indianapolis, Ray's going to Wisconsin. And look at this. Ray posted this on his website today. This guy, Frankie Campano, the guy beside him. My goodness, what a warrior Frankie is. And his wonderful children. Frankie's from Cape Canaveral. This is Ray could probably tell the story. I don't even know if that Ray's in here with us. This touched me, Ray, because there's a lot of these kind of conversations that were going on all the time. And this guy, Ray said, was a former preacher's kid. This big guy here in the middle. And trying to work his way back. I'll keep working my way back to you, babe. Working his way back to the Lord. And there are hundreds of conversations like that going on there. So a lot of good stuff.
Amen. Amen, Coach.
Ray, can you fill us in a little bit more about this story here, Ray?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of those stories all through that town today. What's happened in the last 3 or 4 days have been just tremendous opportunity to witness. The first couple of days, they were a little bit cold, but these people have been opening up. And like your wife, Michelle, God bless her, she got up there and said, what is wrong with you apathetic people out there? The street people out here have more compassion. Their eyes are more open. And they were wanting and hungering to get out of their situation. This is a preacher's kid. His dad's out in Tennessee, a preacher. He knows the Bible. He knows the truth. And he came up to us a couple of times and really seeking to repent. He knows he's walking the wrong path. So he really wants to get back with Jesus. Amen.
Hey, folks, can there be any greater joy than bringing somebody else's child back to Christ? Can there be any greater joy? Man, I don't know. Imagine how his parents have been praying for him and everything that's going on. And his son's lost and he was raised in the church and he's turned away from it. He's able to go out there. Remember the idea, one man plants, another man waters. God gives the increase. Ray's faithfulness to go and Frankie's faithfulness to go. And I'm just telling you. Awesome. Awesome. I'm in, I'm on, what did I say? Psalm 34. My wife, I love my wife. And I was coming down. I said, honey, I don't have a scripture yet. And she, I got down there and she texted me Psalm 34. So I'm going to go with her today here. Get it up there on the screen, Jared. You can. Sorry. Trying to find you on my screen. 37 people in here. Keep coming in. Keep inviting other people to come in here and join this miraculous cult we got going on. The Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Listen, folks, most of those people in downtown Indianapolis, they weren't humble. It was the humble that were hearing. It was the humble. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Boy, isn't that the truth? And their faces were not ashamed. You get this? When we showed them the Lord and they looked at the Lord and they were lightened, my goodness, their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, not those rich ones. Those poor men cried and the Lord heard him. Jim cried and the Lord heard him, delivered him out of all of his troubles, saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. When's the last time you heard that preached, huh? And he delivers them. The Lord camps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Oh, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, they shall not want any good thing. We saw a lot of young lions down there who are spiritually hungry. Come ye children, hearken unto the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I'm going to teach you not the love of the Lord. No. I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth love and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Hey, Jesus don't love everybody, boys. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Wow. The righteous cry. The Lord hears. And he delivers them out of all their troubles. Isn't it amazing there's troubles? Even for the righteous there's troubles. The Lord hears the cry and he delivers them out of all of them. The Lord is near unto all them that are of a broken heart. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Not many contrite spirits in downtown Indianapolis, I can tell you that. He keepeth all his bones. I'm sorry, 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Huh? I thought your best life now. No. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord, he delivers you out all of them. You're going through. See, my four favorite words in the Bible, it came to pass. Didn't come to stay. He keepeth all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Obviously speaking about the Lord. Evil shall slay the wicked. Yes, it shall. And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. And none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. There you go, baby. Good word today, Michelle. Good word. Okay, I want to open it up here a minute because I got some stuff I want to flip up here on the screen. But somebody got desolate. Jared went to desolate. Desolate is destitute or deprived of inhabitants. Desert, uninhabited, denoting either stripped of the inhabitants or never having been inhabited. Wow. Laid waste, in ruinous condition, neglected, destroyed, solitary, without companion, afflicted, deserted of God, deprived of comfort. My heart within me is desolate, deprived. Oh, we saw a lot of that. Somebody come on in here. Come on in. Nobody? Going to wait? Going once?
I was trying. Coach, I wanted to say also about how encouraging it was to see the kids out there. I can't even say the teenagers, because there was seven, six, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10-year-old out there, and they're handing out literature to these walking dead. And as they're handing them, the walking dead are giving them nasty looks, and they're going, God bless you. You know, and I watched the one young man where he was standing outside the bank after we had that issue with the bank. And he went to hand this lady some literature. He says, here you go, ma'am. And she went, I don't want that. And he looked at her, and instead of just turning away or you know, acting like a teenager, he says, would you like to talk about it? And she was like, no, I don't want to talk about it. But I'm telling you, I was encouraged all day long by all of the youth that were out there and seeing them and
We lost him. Where is that Psalm? Is that Psalm 127, Jared? Is that what I'm getting in my spirit here? Let me go there real quick, Jared. Psalm 127. 127. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Here it is, folks. David, come on back home, bud. Watch this. This is Psalm 127. Not very long. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep Indianapolis, the watchman waketh, but in vain. See, boys and girls, it's vain to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. So he giveth his beloved sheep. Lo, he says, lo! Children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Yeah. Do you look at children as a reward? I couldn't wait to get home last night to see my grandbaby. I couldn't wait to get home. A reward. It's a reward. Watch this. What David's talking about this morning. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I'm encouraged today. And one of the things I got to say when I was doing a little bit of street preaching on there, I tried to make the comparison. We had these women. I guess they were women. We had these sexual deviants show up in the middle of it yesterday. And I tried to make a comparison. I said, look, hey, Pastor Dale's joining us. Hey, who do you want controlling the future? You want these Christian kids out here who are clean cut, God fearing? You want them to run Indianapolis in the future? Or do you want these deviants? You want these deviants to be in charge? How many of you walking up and down the street when you look at your little kid want them to be like these freaks, these deviant freaks? Or do you want them to be like these Christian kids? Which one do you want? Because that's the choice that's laid before you. Hey, Dale, give us an update. Right.
Well, brother, it's we hit a nerve yesterday down here in the city. You know that circle that goes all the way around. Can you hear me? Are we okay? Okay, let me put my video on. There we go. Okay, so the circle that goes all the way around the city and then down each one of the corridors, they have no parking signs on the entire place. I mean, they have shut down all the parking. It was absolutely incredible. And you know, they came up to me yesterday with the tents and the music and everything. And this is the state. They come up. This is what the church needs to do to this. We need to show them what interposition is and resisting tyranny. They come over, and when we're getting ready to do the march, they asked me to break that stuff down and move it to the lower level. And I looked at her. I said, that's not going to happen. And she looked at me dumb, confounded. She didn't know what to say about that. And she says, well, you know, you're not really supposed to be up on the steps. And, you know, she started spieling all this stuff. And she goes, is there any way you can do that? And I looked at her and said, absolutely not. I said, we are not moving. We're staying right here. I said, but now look, I'm flexible. I said, we'll move to the bottom today, you know. I said, I'll be a man of my word on that. And the reason why is because I hadn't seen the contract in which we had signed. And she was actually in her right. We didn't have a contract for the tents and everything. But anyway, so we're back down here today. And we've got the canopy set up. And we actually have all the property to the to those big round posts. So we're down here. We're going to bring the gospel. We're going to preach it loud, just like that cop told us yesterday. He said, look, Dale, it's not your loudness that they have a problem with. It's your message. And he looked at me in the eyes. He says, but I get it. Hallelujah. Oh,
a lot of places. I was telling one of the cops yesterday. I said to one of the policemen yesterday, and I got this from you, by the way. I went up to several of the policemen and said, listen, the way you have treated us makes honoring the badge. Would you expound on that, Dale? Wait a minute, Dale, you're muted. Just a second, Dale. You're muted.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and say, I didn't hear that. Can you say that again?
Because I got it from you. I said to several of the cops yesterday, the way you guys in Indianapolis have treated us have made the honoring of the badge easy. You expound on that?
Well, absolutely. That, and of course, in a merciful way, but not in a just way. In other words, they recognized, you know, our constitutional rights. They respected them. They didn't come over and run roughshod over us. And they were very gracious to us. But in hindsight, in the battle, is they're not upholding their duty, their sworn duty, to protect life.
Okay. And we did what we call an ecclesiastical court. Hey, Jared, I think I got some things I sent you this morning. It says, what's it say on here? Make sure I get you the right. Ecclesiastical court, what it says. And you guys know what ecclesiastical means? Does anybody know what that means? Ecclesiastical court. Well, let me save you some time, although we could go to Webster's dictionary if you wanted to. An ecclesiastical court is a church court or a Christian court. So we have the Supreme Court of the United States, but that's not an ecclesiastical court. That's a secular court. An ecclesiastical court is the court of Almighty God here on earth. Does that make sense to you? It's where the church holds the world accountable. And so one of the things that we like to do is go to the state house and hold what we call an ecclesiastical court. We had about 500 people down there, powerful man, 500 people. And do this real quick for me, Jared. I'm sorry. Go to David Arthur's Facebook page. I belong Amen Ministries. Because remember, folks, I can't put stuff on my website because I can't put stuff on Facebook. But Jared has access, I think, to David's Facebook page, so he can call that up there. I want you guys to get some visual, and then I want to show you something I thought was really, really powerful. Jared's working to get us there. So we got about 400, maybe 500 people down there in front of the state house. We're doing an ecclesiastical court where we are the church is calling out, holding court against the government. Very, very powerful thing. And it's captured here on David's Facebook page. So Jared's scrambling to get that up there. So we go and we get all these 500 people out there at the state house and are holding the Supreme Court of Indiana in contempt of the court of
to the world. The state is also a God-ordained authority. The symbol of that authority is a sword. Civil government is to be a ministry of justice. You guys understand this? Civil government is to be a ministry of justice that is primarily concerned about preserving the physical welfare of men and nations. They were ordained by God to restrain evil, protect life, and stop the shedding of innocent blood. That's the purpose of government. It also should not be the bear the sword of God's wrath in vain, but to wield that authority as a careful, just people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceable and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And we're poised here today to obey the scriptures, which is to pray and to submit to your just, lawful authority. We would also plead with those that are in authority to use the law lawfully by establishing righteousness and justice in the gates of Indiana. Where our magistrates have failed to do so, however, it is our duty to call upon them to turn from any and all wicked, idolatrous decrees, turn to Christ, and govern righteously, that we might, in good conscience, submit to lawful authority. Good. Should our magistrates choose not to repent and continue to govern in an unrighteous manner, then we will want them to know that we will relentlessly pursue every avenue of the democratic process, take advantage of every right to free speech that we possess on every street corner and in every public venue across this great state, in order that we might provoke them in a lawful way to bring about their repentance and the faithful discharge of their duty before God and we the people. So here are the charges that were read. Legislators have twice blocked protection at conception legislation that called for the deregulation of abortion as a medical procedure and placing the act as a criminal prosecutable under the state murder statutes. That's what we're calling them to do. But here's the verdict. And it comes from Isaiah 10, 1 verse 3. Woe to those who decree iniquitous decrees and the rioters who keep writing oppression, to turn aside the needy from justice, to rob the poor of my people from their right, that widows may be their spoil, and that they may make the fatherless their prey. What will you do on the day of punishment and the ruin that will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your wealth? The second charge, Indiana was a leader in the eugenics movement, being the first state to enact compulsory sterilization laws for those whom they deemed genetically unfit. Did you guys know that? I didn't know that. So here's the verdict. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Isn't it amazing that all throughout the Bible, you will continually see the orphans referred to as the fatherless, never the motherless, always the fatherless, because it's a man's issue. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. What Christians are supposed to do. What government, Christian government, is supposed to be doing. Next page, Jared. It's good stuff. Give Jared a chance to... I turned that one the wrong way on you, brother. I'm sorry. It's early this morning. Yeah, he'll write it for us. Here's the next charge. Indiana lawmakers have routinely followed unjust Supreme Court rulings as if they were law. And in doing so, they have forsaken their oath to uphold the Constitution and their duty to govern justly before God. Here's a verdict, Proverbs 28:4. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. I'll say that again. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked.
But those who keep the law strive against them. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. Man. Fourth chart.
Joe, it keeps coming to me. We are so likened in this nation and our church here, except for the remnant, to the church of Laodicea. And you know, I've thought about this, and I've read about all the churches, as probably you guys have too. And I think that goes exactly what you're saying. I think the Laodicean church is the toughest one because they're the most blinded. They think they're wealthy, but they're not. They think they're clothed, but they're naked. And that's the only church Jesus said, be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm. And isn't that what you're saying, Coach, as you're going downtown and observing these people? They want to make money and get laid. If that's not lukewarm, I don't know what is.
George, can I tell you something else? Folks, this is true. I said this to my wife. Are you ready for this, folks? I'm going, hey, right wing watch, George, they're going to love this and then they're going to run with it, okay? There's no doubt. As I stood there and I watched, I'm no prude, okay? I'm no prude. As I sit there and I watch those women, I'm going to tell you something. Women dress to tempt men. Don't there be any doubt about it, boys and girls. When those girls, those young girls who are working in those office buildings, I'm telling you, when they get up in the morning and they put those clothes on, they are dressing to tempt men. And can somebody explain to me, when did skin tight yoga pants become normal wear in office buildings? They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And then they complain that they're sex objects. I about had it, man. I about had it. A man, if a man's got any testosterone at all, he ain't got much of a chance. He just ain't. Because if they tempt him, and then if he bites, then they come after him. Somebody come on in here. Good word, George.
I was just going to say that, you know, there's a part there in Scripture that it's easier for a wealthy man, rope through a needle, and, you know, for a wealthy man to go to heaven, be saved. Because we are the wealthy man, this country. We're not going to repent until we become a third world country.
That's right.
That's what's going to take. That's what's going to take.
Well, here's what I'm saying, man. Huh? It's that ungodly affluence. See, the thing that's keeping people from Christ is their affluence. This is their stuff. And then we go to a church, and what's the church praying for? Stuff. Get more stuff. God wants you to have more stuff. And it's the stuff that's preventing us from humbling ourselves and coming to the Lord. It's the stuff.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Can I be permitted to comment just a little bit on about that scripture that was Russ brought forward, where Jesus said it is easier for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is to go through the eye of a needle. You know, Jesus said with man, it is impossible. Man, you can't put a camel through the eye of a needle. It won't fit. You can't break down the camel's body, and where every bit of it's going to go through that needle, something's going to get lost somewhere if you boil it down to the atoms or whatever. But see, it's impossible for that rich man to get into heaven just as much as it is impossible for that poor man to get into heaven on their own. Neither one can do it on their own. Rich man can't do it. Poor man can't do it.
Amen. But Larry, very good point. The point that we want to make, and we've made basically all week, is it's the poor man who's more open to it. The poor man is needy. He's physically needy. He's needy.
The poor man understands the need for help.
That's right. That's right. The rich man's self-sufficient, got all of his stuff, the Indianapolis Colts game, and tickets to the Indiana Patriots game, got everything he needs. Nice car. Where are we going to eat for lunch? And it's like Michelle said yesterday in that little clip we played. What is wrong with you guys? What's wrong with you people? Come on in there.
You know, I don't know when it was, 2-3 years ago, Exactly. You know, I think just living in this country, and even our poor are prosperous compared to, you know, the third world countries and whatnot, right? Yeah. So I had to start asking the Lord daily, and I still do this daily. Lord, put a fire in me for the things of you. Help me not to be complacent. Help me to love the things you love, to hate the things you hate, but just put in every fiber of my being a Holy Ghost fire to be on fire for you. And you know what? We know this. When we ask anything according to God's will, I am 110% confident that is within the Lord's will. I don't have to question that at all. And he'll do it. But I believe